Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine being at a high school dance, singing along with everyone else, and a little bit softer now, and a little bit softer now, and a little bit softer now.
That's our man, Abe Gordon, in for Carl today. Hey, man. Yes, the joke, Abe, is you cannot modulate your volume. We just spent 5 minutes on it. You know what? I don't think Aerosmith spent this much time on a sound check before we started the show today. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, where we start every hour of every show with a big hearty,
hey, man.
Shout out to Dwayne, my man over here. He's waiting for us when we started the show out here. Day-Day is producing this. We got Slim on the buttons here and Oren back at the ranch in Midtown. And we're going to talk all about the NFL schedule, where the Falcons are at, and where we need to be at. There's a couple of places we need Mike Conti to send us, for sure. Now, I don't think we can expense the Madrid trip, but there's a few here in America that we can talk about. We got that going on. Abe, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, some people are into the schedule release. Some people are like, we've already known the opponents. What's the difference? I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I think it's nice to know how it situates, how it sorts out. But
we've already driven our first customers away from our broadcast location. So no worries. Yeah, he only gets louder. It's going to get louder. Yes, it's a good move. It's a smart move. Go about 90 feet that way. That's my advice. Because, yeah, it's like seismic. Yes, thank you, sir. Is that a Harvard? Is that Harvard? What's the H for?
It's a high school.
Okay, I thought you were a Harvard man. Okay, what high school is it?
Howard High School in Macon.
Okay, baby, in Macon. All right, that's the ultimate South Side. Right on. My man knows. Day-Day, are they any good? Day-Day, put Day-Day's mic. Are these guys any good? Do we need to be nice to him? Yeah? Okay, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, they are.
Like 5A's,
4A's? Size-wise, like, I'd have to look at the classifications. But okay. I'm just saying, they are good.
Forget it like it never happened. Hey, everybody, live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, man. Carl's got some vacay, so Abe is in. Look at my man wearing it, rocking a Trae Young jersey at the bar. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I mean,
discount rack?
I mean, he had it. It's an older one. He's going to have to get a new one. But we'll talk about the Braves right off the jump, man. We will get to the Falcons schedule release and all that. It's amazing. You and I were joking on the pre-show, which airs on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
If the Braves, I told you guys, you know, about 10 days ago, we're going to play the Dodgers, we're going to play the Cubs, and Chris Sale's going to lose. The Braves are going to lose both of Chris Sale's starts. You'd have figured, well, there's no way we're going to win these series, but we still take 4 out of 6, two of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, you thought maybe you'd find a way to get one of them, but not both in terms of the series. And obviously, you had already won the series going into Chris Sale's start, so it was a little bit different against the Cubs than it was against the Dodgers. Yesterday's outing, I have a lot more allowance for, a lot more patience
right
about. The Braves lost, I understand that. Chris Sale wasn't bad. He was in and out of trouble. He fought his way through it at most
right
times. He was hurt by an error behind him.
Yeah, Kim was a butcher in the
yeah
field. That was bad.
And he'd been pretty strong defensively up until that.
Right.
But, yeah, in general, you know, I was a little worried at the start with the Dodgers game because that was a little bit more troublesome, although he did settle into that game too, but the runs in the early portion. You just didn't hit, Mike. I mean,
right,
you had 5 singles sprinkled throughout the game. That was all you could muster. None of them were in the same inning together.
Yeah.
And you were shut out for the second time this year.
You're lucky you got to the bullpen the other night. You got to, is it Maton? He was better last night for the Cubbies after you got past Imanaga. But last
right
night, Brown started, only went 4, then Milner. Their bullpen is good. They spent money on their bullpen. Cubbies, you know, they're going to be there. They're going to be in the mix. You got them on a little bit of a downslide. They finally corrected, snapped their losing streak, and snapped the Braves' win streak. But the Braves fall 2-0. We'll spend time with Grant McCauley a little bit later in the show, talk about that. More in the Daily Download about the Bravos. But the big news, and it's funny because if you're an old G, I guess I qualify now. You know, I get to stuff from AARP now, so I guess I can say it. But, you know, the schedule release, I don't know, 20 years ago, it was, okay, schedule's out.
Even 10, right?
Right. I mean, you and I, we can talk about this. Carl and I were talking off the air yesterday, trying to figure out when this became a thing. So it's probably in the last 10 to 15, but like everything else with the NFL, you have the combine. You know, after the Super Bowl, of course, combine. Then you have, you know, the pro days, you have the draft, then you have the schedule release. The NFL is always in our consciousness, basically 12 months out of the year. They do a better job than certainly Major League Baseball, any other sport, of really sticking with you. You know exactly what's going on in the calendar year. So this is the schedule release. And again, it became a thing a couple of years ago for teams to get really creative with their marketing, and the Falcons digital and marketing department did a great job. 6-minute video. Abe, we were saying, do the younger guys get the ESPN This Is Sports Center references?
Well, do people watch ESPN when a game's not actually live
anymore? Not if I can help it.
Right. And so, I don't know if people remember the This Is Sports Center commercials or specifically individual references from a variety of different commercials. You might have caught a couple of them, right? You might understand some of them, but others were a little bit more subtle. Still funny, even if you don't get the reference. It was a great job, but I'm with you. I think there was this anticipatory thing that took place 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, when these social media releases became a bigger and bigger deal, and there was the discussion, who's going to make fun of this or that, or who's going to do a parody of this or that, and more people are tuned in, less for the actual schedule and who's playing when and where, as you are just to see the 32 various releases.
Right. We talked about the Falcons with the Game of Thrones a couple years ago, which really kind of raised the bar. The one that was funny, and they went back to the well and they couldn't pull it off, was Tennessee.
Yeah.
With a version.
One too many times, Mike.
Yeah, again, you got to reinvent. But the man in the street or the woman in the street, and they're showing logos, came back a couple years ago with their opponents and people trying to guess who the teams were. And it was kind of funny. But that one didn't really go. We were debating, would anybody have fun with Mike Vrabel? And the Chargers did a subtle, but again, didn't go all in on Vrabel and the Rossini scandal.
Yeah, I kind of just wonder if there's a little bit of like
referencing a news dump and photo dumps, and you know, and so even if you don't, and some folks won't even know the terms, you know.
Why did no one make a run at Vrabel?
Well,
because there were plenty that made that took no waste of thought to make a run at Belichick.
Well, again, it's just I said yesterday, if you live in a glass house, you better wear a bathrobe. You know what I mean?
Don't I thought about rocks. That. You know, I also just generally. People like Vrabel a little bit more than Belichick. How much did this change that?
I mean, look, I got nothing against Vrabel. When this went down, it was just my beef was the inequity of how, you know, Rossini's career is ruined. She gets tagged with the Scarlet Letter, and all he's like, wink, wink, you know, I'm going to take myself out of the draft weekend. So it's just, you know, it's a shame, you know, two consenting adults. Like, I feel bad for the kids. The kids are too young to really know what's going on. Vrabel's kids are a little older. Mm-hmm. But, and again, the husband, Carl always hates when I say this, Rossini's husband has been made a cuckold by Diana in this case. You know, I don't think many marketing departments are going to be comfortable going down this road, even though the NFL said, you got free rein, knock it out of the park.
Well, I also just assume that they've been working on these videos for, quite honestly, longer than than this whole process of Vrabel and Rossini is slowly come out. Like, I mean,
But anyway, the
Falcons took how long to film all of those skits? I mean, it had to take weeks, if not months.
Right. So the Chargers are the only guys who kind of went down that road. Carl and I brought it up. That's what Abe and I are talking about. It. This hour, guys, brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Falcons have a lot of fun with it. Matt Ryan, famously years ago, get blanking set. I said this to Carl yesterday. I just don't get how some people just presume that Matt was this choir boy from the main line in Philly. You don't get to be an NFL quarterback and stay an NFL quarterback without having that edge or killer instinct. So famously when Matt goes, get blanking set, or they, you know, get off my blanking field, people are like, oh, my God, Matt said it. But it still resonates, and it was funny because that's how the Falcons started the video with him basically doing a presentation with all Freddie Falcons sitting there, and Ian Cunningham's there, and they got a couple guys that show up in the video that aren't sat at the table, and Matt yells, get blanking set. It's funny.
Even in his new role as Falcons president, it's kind of a general, like, this guy's buttoned up. And I thought we saw him open up a lot more in the videos in the release than we did in the press conferences or in the introductions, you know, draft room interviews, anything like that. It's nice to see a little bit more playful side.
Right, and Bijan.
And we know he has that with the kids.
It's Bijan Robinson, but his mother pronounced it Bijan. And we learned that talking to Bijan last year. And so they have this video. And, again, it's a visual. So we can play the audio, or if you want, Oren, from the Bijan segment. But so there's two nameplates in his cubicle with the different pronunciations. And the guy walks up to try to talk to Bijan. Well, take a listen. Here's what it sounds like.
Hey, how's it going?
All good, man. Either one's fine. Either one's fine. Nope. Right here. Eyes on me. It's all good, Mark. We'll try again another day.
I know it starts with a B.
So that made me laugh. Now, again, some of these are visual, so it's radio. I understand you're in your car, so we can't explain it all. That was cute. Then later on, the stuff with the all the cameras, basically inferring that Bijan loves himself a lot. That was funny,
he loves
too.
The catwalk camera, and he tried to input that into everyday life. Yeah, a lot of good references. Right. And again,
if you're a Falcons fan, you know all this stuff.
And that's honestly, it's really impressive that they were able to parody and mimic so many different SportsCenter commercials, but also you knew what was going on if you're just a Falcons fan. Mm-hmm. It works either way, and that's not easy to do.
So the other aspects of the schedule itself, and we're going to spend all day having fun with it, the Steelers, I'm more concerned, and this is one that Data is going to ask us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour in his segment, what are the 5 road trips, if you had the dough to do it all, you want to do? And Pittsburgh in the spring, or I should say in the early, late summer, early fall, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's when you want to be there. And they got two of my favorite things, football and a giant casino. Literally,
okay. I didn't know what the second
about
one was
a quarter
be.
Not even a quarter of a mile. Becky and I were up there, I said to Carl yesterday, for the 17 season preseason game in Pittsburgh. And we're playing craps, and the pit boss, I had my Falcon hat on, and these guys are like, how could you lose to the Patriots? How'd you let that happen? Blowing that lead, you know? And it's like, I know. Every person to a man, all the boats are tied up right there on the Monongahela, or I guess whatever that is on the confluence. People come over. They saw our Falcons gear. Come on over. Grab a beer. We're hanging out with everybody. It's like the Volunteer Navy up in Knoxville. It's friendly as folks. I don't know how friendly they're going to be in the regular season.
Yeah.
But the preseason, we had a ball, and I'm looking forward to getting back there, man. It's going to be – that's one I'm looking forward. We're definitely going to hit that trip.
Well, you know, I take a baseball trip with my dad every year. We're going to Pittsburgh this year. Now, obviously, it won't be – at this time of year,
right.
It'll be
and
a little
by
bit
the way,
early.
There, in case you're wondering, the Pirates are on the road. We looked it up the weekend play in Pittsburgh.
But I'm looking forward to Pittsburgh. I think that's a great game, a time for Atlanta. If we want to get into the specifics of it. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers not really dialing up his season yet, or if it's the first start in the career of Will Howard, I'm along with the weather, which could have been a problem if Pittsburgh's Week 14 or something.
Right. Mike McCarthy finding his way with his
all of it's beneficial team. For a week one matchup. If we're going to go on the road and you look at some of the road opponents, that might be the best time to get Pittsburgh.
3 o'clock, Abe has called a thesis on the season. And we've spent all offseason talking about Michael Penix Jr. versus Tua. How's this going to play out? How's this quarterback competition going to work? How can it be a competition if one man's not 100% ready to go? Abe at 3 o'clock will explain how the schedule and the way the national games fall maybe have set the Falcons up in a perfect way to get Penix on the field. We'll explain all that. But coming up next, live from Twin Peaks, this hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash of Dukes and Bell. Our man Brian McFadden, CBS NFL analyst, talking about the schedule. Talk about the game in Pittsburgh. What's up with Aaron? It's coming up live. What a perfect day, man, to be eating and drinking outside. Women in lumberjack outfits want to meet you. Well, maybe not you, but you.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Here. Man, happy Friday. It's the Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, as the man said. Abe Gordon is hanging out for a Carl. Professor Abe's thesis on how the schedule may help the Falcons and the development of the most important position on the field. Stay tuned for that at 3. But next, we're coming for you, B. We're going to get you week one because both teams are going to be in a state of transition. Talking about the Steelers and two-time Super Bowl winner Bryant McFadden, who joins us right now on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. All right, B, we coming. Where's Aaron? You going to be playing quarterback?
Yes, he will. Yeah, he'll be there ready to rock and roll week one as Atlanta visits the Steel City. And do you remember what happened the last time Atlanta played Pittsburgh week one in Pittsburgh? Do you remember?
What
you
want year me
to refresh your memory?
I remember Mike Vick coming back to get a tie.
Well, a couple of years ago, we ran the pistol and lost to a Steelers team that didn't score any touchdowns.
Yeah, that was at Mercedes-Benz.
I know.
Yeah,
that,
go ahead, B.
I'm saying the last time Pittsburgh opened up against Atlanta in Pittsburgh, it was a Rashad Mendenhall walk-off touchdown run in overtime.
That's right.
I was on that team. Yeah, that was. I think it was like 18-15 or something like that or whatever. Right. It was a low-scoring game in the teens, and we had it was a Rashard Mendenhall walk-off touchdown that led to that Week One victory against Atlanta. But it should be a really, really good game. To your point, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty between both offenses, especially at the quarterback position. And by that time, we will have a clear view on who the quarterback will be. And, right. You know, hopefully either side will be able to have the smoothness in the offense to be able to generate some nice production.
Look, B-Mac, I understand Aaron Rodgers is a veteran, but at what point does him missing various parts of this offseason and phases and programs and mini camps and whatever impact how quickly he's up to speed come the season? And is this something that potentially if he does his veteran thing and doesn't want to be there till the start of training camp or whenever it is, that gives the Falcons just any little bit of edge of Rodgers not being the best version of himself week one?
You know, that's a great question. We know this will be a new offense. How much of this offense will be tied into what Mike McCarthy ran in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers was there? We don't know. And I think for Aaron Rodgers, and I do believe he's going to return, right? He only knows when he's going to make it known. But I think he understands the timetable in terms of how much time he would need to be comfortable. And I'm more concerned, me personally, I'm not concerned with his comfort in the offense. I'm more concerned with his comfort with this new offensive personnel. Because even though there are a lot of guys that are there from a year ago offensively, there are a lot of new pieces also. And the rhythm right. and chemistry is something that happens through repetition. So, the thing for me, I got to do my research and go back to a year ago and see when did he make it known that he would be a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and seeing that timeline between the announcement once training camp started to kind of get a good understanding of, well, he came into camp last year around this time, made it known,
right.
and he looked fairly comfortable throughout training camp to be a great litmus test on what this could look like whenever he makes the decision known that he will return.
And look, not to make it all about Aaron Rodgers, but just more about what the vibe is if you're a teammate. Because as Brian McFadden joins us, like you know, we talk about Tomlin. He's not there anymore. It's Mike McCarthy. He had to deal with all the different head cases and all the different craziness from Le'Veon Bell to Juju to you name it, man. He's had to deal with it. But what about as a teammate? Do you say, hey, man, as long as he can do his job, or do you roll your eyes at some point, like, enough with this? Because it's the same stuff, ironically, that he dealt with as a teammate of Brett Favre, which now he seems to do every offseason.
I think you can get a little bit of both. You know, as long as he's ready to go when he's here, that's all I care about. And you could have some guys that are rolling their eyes right now, like, man, enough is enough. Either you want to play or you don't want to play. Remember Cam Hayward a year ago, he was a little vocal about, you know,
the
time in it. Yeah, and why he's not here. Now we haven't heard anything from any of the veteran players, but I can imagine internally some of those feelings are definitely being expressed.
Other thing, just as a follow-up, B, just because Carl and I were talking about, Carl's off today, Abe Gordon is in for Carl, is in the Patriots locker room, Vrabel has the media meeting, answers one question about the Rossini thing, and then they shut it down. Now, he says he was much, much more forthcoming. As long as he's clear and clean with his teammates, with his players, do you think any of the players, you know, push back on that? If they later find out, oh, wait, he was seeing this woman for 5 years? Or does it matter, as long as you're winning?
I mean, I think it matters, and then also I think it doesn't matter. I think for the players, the more concerning thing with the Patriots situation, where will Vrabel head be, right, Mike,
right.
Abe, with everything that he is enduring? Because, you know, as an adult, when the house is not right, usually nothing else is right for men, when you don't have peace in your home. And clearly the peace is not as it once was. So where will he be, and how dialed in will he be? Because the thing about this year for the New England Patriots, this season, there's different expectations than it was a year ago. Remember last year, it was year one for Vrabel. They just had a top five selection. They had a bad year the year before when Gerard Mayo was the head coach. So anything they did positive was going to be blown out of proportion because they were so bad. Now you made it to the Super Bowl. You had a really good, successful offseason. The draft was good. Free agency was good. Now, it's like we're expecting you to be in that conversation once again. And you're going to receive every opposing team's best effort because you were the Super Bowl runner-up last year. And now you deal with the head coach with a lot of turmoil off the field. So that's the most concerning thing for me with the Patriots. It's not about the players and answering the questions. It's about the head coach. Because if the head coach is not focused and dialed in, the staff won't be as focused and dialed in either.
It is Brian McFadden here on Dukes and Bell, Abe in for Carl. BMAC, last night the NFL schedule release, it's the latest example of the NFL turning a nothing burger into a massive event. And they essentially have made almost everything that they can into some sort of event. They steal headlines and effectively force the NBA to not have a playoff game last night because of it. Yeah. Is there anything on the NFL calendar that you think they actually can't turn into an event if they wanted to?
No, I don't think so. And, Abe, that's a great point you just, you know, hit on. There was no NBA playoff game last night solely because of the NFL schedule release. And the schedule was basically leaked well before it was televised. But everyone still watched. Like, we knew who was playing who well before the televised show was up and running. But you still watch. And the NFL is just it has dominated. Think about this. We're going to have an NFL game Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday at some point this season, right? The only days we won't have a game will be Tuesday. Think about that.
Right.
Think about that. We will have a game every day but Tuesday this upcoming season based on the Wednesday night game, then, of course, Thursday, and then, of course, you know, you have the Black Friday, and now you have Thanksgiving Eve. I didn't even know Thanksgiving had an Eve. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
but
Wednesday night.
The NFL has created a Thanksgiving Eve for a game. And guess what? We're going to watch. You know why we're going to watch? Because the parity is something that you cannot predict.
Right.
That's the great thing about the NFL game. When you think you know what is going to happen, you do not know. Go back to a year ago. Let's go back to getting ready for 2025. Guess who played in the Super Bowl? Seattle and New England. Who had that on their bingo card?
Right.
Nobody.
That's
Guess
the thing.
Who didn't make the playoffs?
Right.
Kansas City, Baltimore. Who had that on their bingo card? Nobody. Right? So that's the parity that is associated with the NFL that makes you want to watch. And when you factor in the gambling side, the fantasy football side, I mean, they're the best in the business right now.
It's our drug, man. We cannot not have the NFL. You're right about that, man. You just mentioned Baltimore. All right, what is the new Ravens coach, Jesse Minter, going to do? I mean, are they going to – first off, how many games you think they're going to win? Are they going to avoid the turnovers? Because Harbaugh, it seems like, you know, I think it was – who was it? Who was the coach who said – Denny Green, who said, like, after 10 years, basically, you wear it, you're welcome in any city. You know, he also said, I'm a man. No, that was Mike Gundy.
They are who we thought they are.
That's our
Denny
Green.
You let him off the hook.
Yeah, you let him off the hook. But the point I'm getting to, it took me five times to get there, is that, you know, eventually things sour, and now you got, like, Jackson Dart saying all these great things about Harbaugh. Oh, it's a breath of fresh air up in New York. Meanwhile, what are the Ravens going to be? Because you feel like their window, like Buffalo and the Ravens, man, you know, it's go time for these teams.
Yeah, it's go time because they have elite quarterbacks. They have MVP quarterbacks. And if you're Baltimore, the worst-case scenario is you get to the playoffs. That's the worst-case scenario. So, meaning they better get to the playoffs this year, right? Even with a first-year head coach and Jesse Minter, when you have Lamar Jackson, assuming Lamar Jackson is healthy, you're destined to get to the playoffs. You should be because he's that type of player. Not to mention adding Trey Hendrickson. You know, you look at what they did in the draft, rest of free agency. They've added some pieces to improve. You know what I mean? So there shouldn't be any exceptions when you have one of the best in the world at the quarterback position in Lamar Jackson. That has to be the goal. That's the bare minimum. They can't have another season of them missing the playoffs like we saw last year.
Hey, B, always great catching up with you, man. We'll have to make that a plan. Get up there to, you know. I know you're not a big drinker, nor do you like to gamble. You take a lot of pages out of my playbook for a weekend in Pittsburgh, but we'll try to put that together, man. Hey, last question. Any interest in going down to Alabama for Florida State?
No. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering myself.
I don't know, Mike. I don't know what it's going to look like. So right. Before I commit to seeing it in person, let me get a few dry runs watching it on TV to see exactly what this new team is going to look like before I actually see it in person.
Right on, brother. Again, last year, never would have expected that outcome down in Tally. Hey, man, have a great weekend. Yep. Thanks, B.
Thank you.
That's our man, Bryant McFadden, guys, from CBS Sports, CBSSports.com as well. Follow him on Twitter as well. We'll come back. A look at the Daily Download. The Braves, they lose the battle, but they win the war. They take another series, but the bats were ice cold. And Kim, I'm watching you. Straighten up. It's coming up next. Live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hey, man. Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Beautiful Friday, man. This is it, guys. Traffic-mageddon starts. We'll talk more about that in the 4 o'clock hour. If you're on the west side, Abe is dismissive of this, feeling that it will not disrupt all of Metro Atlanta. There will be the accordion, the butterfly effect, some would say, Abe. I can tell you this.
I'm
it's going to take me 2 freaking hours to get to the Battery on Sunday morning. I can tell you that right now.
It can't be that bad.
Oh, you just wait.
It can't be that bad.
Because, again, if you can't go up the east side, then you're going up north. It's going to be 400 or up the middle right here on the Midtown, on the connector.
You can go up the east side. You just got to hop off the highway for 2 miles.
All right. Okay. Hey, more on that coming up. Stay tuned. Right now, though, the Daily Download, the Braves, they do lose, but they win the series. H.S. Kim, E6, not cool. What was that throw? It's like he was like shoveling it, and then halfway through, he decides, like, yeah, he just throws it. Ozzy's my size. He needs a ladder.
Ozzy's already short.
Yeah, that was a bad. Now, again, doesn't matter if the Braves, one run was all you needed because Braves couldn't score. Here's Walt Weiss on Chris Sale having another good outing, but just not getting the run support.
That's a typical Sale outing right there. It's 6 or 7 innings. It's 2 runs or less, and it's punch outs and on and everything else. So no, he's been unbelievable. But yeah, unfortunately, he's been been in tough luck loser the last couple times. You know, because he's certainly thrown the ball well enough the last 2 times to win. He's one of those guys that can go get some more. You'll see him cruising in the mid 90s and then get a little traffic or there's a tough situation. Here comes upper 90s. Still doing that at this point in his career. He's pretty special.
Yeah, look, I thought yesterday was better than his performance against the Dodgers. He put you in an early hole in that game with the 3 runs given up, 2 of those earned against the Dodgers. And I wouldn't say it's a concern, Mike. It's not a concern. But he worked his way out of a lot of trouble yesterday. We've seen him be sharper. We've seen with the stuff that he ultimately had in that game, throwing 100 pitches, we've seen that carry him to the 8th before. Only to the 6th because of some of the trouble he worked his way into some of those early innings. I'd like to see him avoid that because he can be, we know that, obviously, and he worked his way out of the trouble all the same, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
No.
But he's still not at that top Chris Sale level yesterday.
No, he was he didn't have his A game, but he was finding a way, and he got out of some jams, and eventually he got the pitch count where it looked like it was going to be an issue. He got that right. Mm-hmm. Great job. Again, I just love, again, it was the Bally or the FanDuel, I should say. The production team does such a great job. I love when Frenchie's in there with CJ and Brandon Gaudin last night. They were talking about when Frenchie was at the end of his career going up against Chris Sale and he's with the Royals. They find the video of him going Oppo Taco against Chris Sale. It's really good stuff. They were talking about the game within the game and the pitching.
Yeah.
Here's Walt Weiss. Look, Cubs are a really good team. Cubs, Dodgers, Braves, they're the cream of the crop in the NL. Here's Walt, though. Didn't get the win, but you're winning series, especially against the Cubbies.
We want to win every night. We thought we were set up with Sale on the mound to sweep a series against a really good team. But we win another series. That's what you want to do. You just want to keep stacking up series wins. And we've been able to do that for the most part.
Not going to complain about 2 or 3, Mike. And I understand you had an opportunity for the sweep with your ace on the mound.
Right.
And you start to get a little bit selfish, a little bit, I understand that. This was a 4-game winning streak you had between the back 2 of the Dodgers and these first 2 of the Cubs. I'm going to take that all day long. And this is a team that over the past 2 series has stood up to the best in the National League outside of themselves and taking care of business. And so, yeah, it would have been nice to sweep. But now I think you're in this lull because of the competition where you just can't take a step back, right?
Right.
You don't want to sleepwalk into a Red Sox series at home against a team that's not very good and give them a little bit of allowance. You got to keep that foot on the gas, and that's what's so difficult about 162 games. You got to be turned on this entire time, and they've been turned on for, what is it, what are we, 40 games in? 42
right.
games in? They've had their foot on the gas this entire time. They've now got to keep it for 120 more.
Look, the thing is for the Braves, and I said this to Carl, and we kind of talked about it with Tony Gwynn Jr., and he agreed to a degree. He said it's still early.
Yeah.
But you feel good. Like, the Phillies went on this amazing tear once they made Don Mattingly the manager. They only picked up half a game because the Braves are crushing it. And the thing is, you don't have Acuna in there. Riley is now finally dialed in. If Riley stays at this pace, then he's right back to where he was in 23. Olsen's already on an MVP-type heater. You know, you're getting stuff like Dominic Smith. Now, Dubon, again, nobody could hit last night. It was what it was. But you just feel it's a special team. And not that Alex would admit it. I think he does sometimes have to go cap in hand to say, hey, can I have a little extra in the envelope for the trade deadline? Instead of taking expiring contracts, really maybe adding some studs at the deadline. And let's go toe-to-toe. Let's stack the deck. That's always my point. You know, you've got all the worker bees. It's kind of like, remember 21? It was the Acuna injury. It was all the stuff at the trade deadline. Everybody you never heard of stepped up. Rosario, Soler, Jock Peterson. Now you feel like you've already got some of these guys that are just clutch. Dominic Smith is just in a happy place, right? Now, hopefully, now the question you just raised, is it sustainable for 162? But I just feel like, man, you're just setting things up to give Alex the wherewithal to go get another starter, beef up the bullpen, and go get a left fielder unless you're happy with Dubon playing left.
And it's going to be about cost. It's going to be the risk-reward assessment. I'm not against parting with prospects or anything like that.
Well, prospects, I understand. Some Braves fans never want to part. Guys, what are we here for? We got the best record in baseball. If we're not going all in this year, then don't waste my time.
I don't disagree, but you also can't get fleeced.
True.
Don't make it.
And Alex always finds a way.
The one thing I would say is that baseball, beyond all other sports, Mike, is the sport where I think the best team doesn't always win.
Right.
Often. Baseball is the one sport. I know you can talk about hockey. You can kind of get hot in hockey, too. But you can get hot in baseball out of a wild card spot, and you can make a run where you need to make a run. And it's a little bit gives you pause, right? Giving up too much for a guy, and then you just don't play well for 1 week after playing well for 5 months, and you're out of it. So I understand some of the hesitation. I'm with you, though. This is a team that threw, again, what is it, 45 games, whatever it is, looks like the best team in baseball, has the pieces, and like you said, it still isn't even at its peak, still isn't playing its best, doesn't have Acuna back. Mm. Who knows what happens if Schwelly and Waldrip ever get going, if you can figure out what's happening with Grant Holmes and get him. I mean, you're still not at your peak. You can play better ball than you have, and you're still already the best team in baseball. It's a reason to do what you're suggesting, which is give up a couple of things and really push all in. The only thing I would suggest is even when you do that, you still just have to be hot at the right time.
Right. Hey, guys, we're giving you our daily download. We'll talk plenty more about the Braves with Grant McCauley. I ask him also about Schwellenbach and Hurston Waldrip because something's starting to break now about when that's going to happen. Braves are also invested in part – it could be the best shortstop on the planet. You ever want to get into all the hype? But there's a young man down in the Caribbean – or Bob Feller would say the Caribbean from the Dominican that the Braves are locking money on. Have you heard about this?
I have, yeah.
It's a story. We'll talk to Grant about it because things start circulating. He is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. The last guy was Joey Logano in NASCAR. But anyway, stay tuned on that. We'll talk to Grant in the 5 o'clock hour. Time now, though, for an update on the PGA Championship. And it's brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Man, it's a blast. We had a great time up at Bobby Jones last time we were up there. Was it a month and a half ago? What a beautiful facility. Yeah. So go check it out. All right, who the hell is Aldrich Potgieter?
He's your co-leader, Mike. That's
he's
who he
21.
Is.
From he's
21. South Africa.
75th in the world, originally from South Africa, but calls Perth, Australia home. And this guy is at 4-under through 8, about to make the turn. Also from down under, Minwoo Lee is at 4-under. What the hell happened to Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, he had a tough start to today. He did rebound a little bit. He was plus one on the day, so 2-under for the tournament. But obviously he was a co-leader yesterday, only able to shoot 71. How about a guy, Chris Goddard, though? Obviously with the Atlanta Drive, he's playing well today. 5-under today And he's finished his round. So he's got, I think, the low round on the day, and that puts him at 300, just one shot off the lead, too.
You had all these big American names. No disrespect to Nikolai Hogard, Hodor. That's a
Game of Thrones
reference. Thank you.
I got it, I got it.
Daniel Brown from the U.K. is also at 1 under. I'm trying to find some names you guys would know. Joaquin Niemann, even par.
Justin
Cameron Smith.
Thomas is 2 under. Cam Young, 2 under.
Right.
Sahith Tagila is 2 under. People know him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. So there we go.
It's very crowded because no one's really separated from the lead was, what, 4 under, 3 right. under yesterday. That's kind of just where we are today.
The one thing about the putt gitter, I'm gonna get the pronunciation, okay? Him. He's a big – I mean, this guy hits monster drives. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's literally one of those guys who go to Vegas and win the long drive championship. Meanwhile, speaking of big drives, John Rahm apologizes for hitting a volunteer with a divot. He takes a swing in frustration. Ah! And a chunk of grass goes flying. So, you know it's you don't do that at the Masters. You know, you might get away with that at the PGA. Either way, bad look for Rahm, who the writers already want to kill because he went to LIV Golf.
Yeah, I get it. It's a bad look. You got hit with a piece of sod. Calm down. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, my God, that man just got hit by a piece of sod.
I mean, come on.
Oh, the humanity. Hey, man, it's the PGA Championship Leaderboard Update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta. One more headline for you guys with the Daily Download today. We'll talk plenty more about the Falcons schedule. Abe gives you the sneak peek into how the schedule makers have maybe solved
it's so obvious,
the Falcons'
Mike.
Quarterback problems. Stay tuned for that. NBA.
Yeah.
All right. Is Jalen Duren going to show up? We talked about this on the pre-show today with Day-Day. Don't forget, guys, every morning around 11 o'clock, we give you a sneak peek, about 15-minute long, on Twitch and YouTube. And if my dogs aren't barking, it's usually a peaceful show. But, yeah, we talked about the Pistons. They're blowing it, man. They should be sledgehammering Cleveland, but they're not.
He hasn't shown up in two postseason series now. You think now game six on the road, he just decides to become a dude?
Well, that's what happened with James Harden. If we're honest.
One game six, though.
Yeah, but James Harden got
still,
the line.
I'm saying.
Now,
so it can
Harden
happen.
Harden got the line. Yeah. He did what he does best, plopping
right.
fouls.
Yeah, and I only say that to say this. Yeah. Like, Jalen Duren has no choice but to show up if the Pistons are going to have a chance to win this series.
They're going to need more from him, certainly. I think he's having trouble with big men who are as athletic, if not more athletic,
and physical.
Than him. Between Allen and Mobley.
Right.
Both can stretch it outside
and
a little
Mobley
bit.
Sometimes, I think Mobley sometimes is soft as Charmin. He's bowing up.
But he's going to force you outside the paint.
Right.
And at least that's going to affect the impact. The thing for me is Durin offensively has been a no-show.
Yeah.
Complete no-show.
No, he's 9.5, almost 10 points off his season average. You mentioned against the Magic, now against Cleveland. Carl is going to be just going awful on the Eaton Crow if Harden has a big night in Game 6 and they close out Detroit. Better matchup for the Knicks, Motown or the Land?
I think the better matchup is probably Cleveland. Only because I just feel Cleveland's playing close to their best basketball. Probably not at their peak, but
right.
close. Detroit feel. I mean, this is the one seed, Mike. And I know they struggled in the opening round, too. It still feels like they can play at a better level than what they've shown.
Right.
Will they? I don't know. I mean, they might be able to squeak by Cleveland the way they have played and get a road win and win at home in 7. But if they're not playing significantly better than they have in this series or in the series against Orlando, they're going to get smoked by the Knicks.
By the way, the Jared Allen foul, no call, NBA says in their 2-minute report it was accurate.
Not
Look,
a foul.
It's playoffs, man.
I'm team no call.
You and I haven't worked together in a while. I laugh so hard about it. I mean, it is what it is. If you never saw the NBA in the 80s and 90s, then you don't know about physical playoff basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the case of Wemby, guys get mugged. Michael, go watch the Pistons against Michael Jordan the first couple years he's in the league. They call the cops on that today. Right, in Detroit, my man just talking about it over there, my man Dwayne. But, I mean, Wemby, you got to stick up for yourself. That's what we needed Jalen Johnson to do when they were throwing him around like a rag doll in Game 6 against the Hawks.
I'm sure I've contradicted myself at times on the statement I'm about to make.
Uh-oh.
I was team no call on that play. That something that iffy can't decide the game. And I'm not – You can't call it
Talking
in the first quarter.
Talking about Jared Allen on Thompson.
Right. You can't call it in the first quarter and then not call it in the fourth. Yeah, you can, man. Because it can't be that ticky-tack to decide the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, they win that game, it's over.
Right. Meanwhile, Anunoby and his hamstring apparently healing up, so looks like he'll be good to go. The Knicks are taking total advantage of this long respite.
Maybe.
Question, as Abe said, are they going to come out rusty and they play game one? But we'll find out if it's going to be Detroit. Looks like, again, season's on the line. They almost blew it against the Magic. They're blowing it against the Cavs. But, again, they brought Harden to Cleveland to win a championship. You know, he's out there for blanks and giggles. You know he's going to let you down.
They got Harden, the better roster, if we're honest.
But Harden will let you down, Data. You know it's coming.
He
Carl's
will.
Right about that.
He will. He's shown that, but – if we're honest, Cleveland has the better roster.
All right, man. We'll come back. That's Day-Day, the smooth sounds of Double D. We'll come back. We got Twin Peaks. Our usuals are rolling in. We got Tinkers over here. Yeah, man. No more work today, right? No. Okay, good. Always worry about always worry about you going up to somebody's house. I can fix it. It's fine. I just got to get my toolbox. No, he's good. For hanging out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead till 6, we'll come back. Abe explains how the schedule makers have set things up for Kevin Stefanski and the Falcons to smoothly transition from one quarterback to another. Stay tuned.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.